I'd like to begin today's share with a bit of a disclaimer, a note of caution. The topic of the future, when Mashiach will come, is shrouded in mystery, secrecy. It's vague, ambiguous. And although we usually encourage questions during these shiurim, and we still do encourage questions, and you can still ask questions during today's shiur. But specific questions about when, what, where, who, I don't think I'm qualified to answer these questions. I think Steve said he was, okay. So those will be tough for me to answer. Additionally, to all such questions, I can always rely on the Briska Rav's answer. The Briska Rav was once asked about Mashiach ben Yosef, something he asked the question, how could it be Mashiach ben Yosef is going to come, a kasha from a Gemara, a kasha from a Medrash. So he said, you know, when Mashiach comes, he'll answer this question also. So all questions of that nature, I'm just going to say Briska Rav, and you'll know what I'm referring to. But disregarding what I just said for a moment, let's introduce today's shiur with a question I think is on everybody's mind. When exactly will Mashiach finally come? So I'm sure many of your family members are waiting at home. You're going to come back and you say, do Rabbi Neustadt tell you when Mashiach's going to come? So let me try to help you out. We know that throughout history there had been those that didn't know when Mashiach was going to come. Yaakov Avinu, before his Patira, Bikesh Sagalis is a case, he wants to reveal the end of times. The Nistam, it was hidden from him. It's brought down the Yosef HaTzadik knew when the Kate was going to be. In Sefer Daniel, some of you may know, the end of Sefer Daniel, it's not even in the Aramaic part, says explicitly when Mashiach is going to come, and I'll read it to you. He has a whole vision of a person coming, and it says, Me'es Husar HaTamid, from the time that the Tamid will be battle, we will no longer be able to bring the carbon Tamid, V'laseis Shikut Shaimim, and from when the mute abomination is emplaced, Yamim Elef, 1,000 years, Masayim, 200 years, V'sishim, in 90 years. So that's when Mashiach is going to come. And then the next pasuk adds on 45 years, that's when Mashiach is going to come. So of course, a lot of the Rishonim try to decipher it, Gematrius, and this and that, and no one really comes out with anything that's really clear, of course. In fact, Ibn Ezra says, don't try anything, don't try Gematrius, don't try any attempt at deciphering this mystery is going to come to, is going to be futile. And he says, in fact, Daniel himself did not know the meaning of this Nevuah, and he did not know the end of days. But if you want to know when Mashiach is going to come, I'll tell you. It's actually on the first Ramban in Parshas Bereishis. The Ramban is on the pasuk of Shabar Elikim Lasais. So he asks, what's the meaning of the word Lasais? So he goes on a famous yisoid that the 6 days of creation corresponds to the 6,000 years of the continuation of the world. And each day of creation corresponds to that millennia. So he says, he goes through a whole cheshbon, now the first 1,000 years goes to this, and the second 1,000 years, the second day corresponds to the second 1,000 years. And when he gets to Bayei Mashishi, he says, we know that on the 6th day, the animals were created first. And then at around Netzach Chama, Kodem Zruach HaShemesh, man was created. And he says, Oz Nivra Adam Etzelem Alekim, V'hu Zman Mamsheltai. This is the Zman, this is the time, Netzach Chama, on the 6th day, which corresponds to Netzach Chama of the 6th millennia, he says that's when Mashiach is going to come. This is when the man will rule the world, and that is when Mashiach is going to come. So he makes a whole cheshbon that every day corresponds to 1,000 years, and he makes a cheshbon that around Netzach Chama 118 years, which is about a tenth into the 1,000 years, Mashiach will come. So he says in the Hebrew year 5118, Mashiach will come. And this was about 640 years ago in the year 1340. That's what he says. That's when Mashiach will come. Now anybody, this is absolutely unprecedented. Anybody who's ever learned the Ramban and Chumash knows there are no mistakes on the Ramban and Chumash. Not one. Every single word is measured. pi Kabbalah, pi Yisrael, pi Pshat, but there's no mistakes in the Ramban. How could it come to, how could Ramban, who was one of the greatest people ever lived, make such a seemingly simple error? So there's an absolutely astounding Sam Sefer, Tshuva Sam Sefer, at the end of Chelek Vav, who deals with this question. And the Sam Sefer is astounding for two reasons. One, for the reason that he gives. And second, for what he says the mistake of the Ramban was. And he ends up giving his own prediction, and even that is also came to pass. He says, we wanted to bring it. But he says, Mitaych gerdut shukasai, kirev cheshboin elies kaev lezmanai. The Ramban, because of his extreme desire and his yearning for Mashiach, hastened his prediction to be closer to his times. The Ramban died around 1270, and his prediction was for the year 1340. So says Chassam Sefer, the Ramban had such a desire and a strong cheshek for Mashiach to come that he made a mistake, and he made it closer to his time because he wanted Mashiach to come closer to his times. So he says, what was the Ramban's mistake? He says, Ramban made a simple mistake. We know that in Judaism, the day does not start with the morning, does not start in the day, starts at night. So if every day of creation corresponds to 1,000 years, so the night, which comes first, is 500 years, and the day following is also 500 years. So it comes out, he says, a tenth of into the next day will be 50 years, right? So the night is 500 plus a tenth, which is corresponds to Netzach Chama, will be 550 years. And he says, therefore, the time the Mashiach is supposed to come is really not 1340 in the Geisha calendar, but really the year 1790. He says, that was Ramban's mistake. 1790. 1890? Okay, that makes it a little better. Yeah, that's... okay.
55.
Okay, 1890 makes a little more sense, but yeah, the letter is the tshuva is actually dated 1803, so it's hard to say he meant 1790. So again, the Chassam Sefer seemed to make the same. He died around in the 1830s. So it seems that the Chassam Sefer, again, because of his Gedol Tshukasai, also made the same mistake. And predicted Mashiach to become closer to his time because of his tremendous desire for Mashiach. So we see a tremendous thing from this Chassam Sefer. The Tzipisili Yeshua, the tremendous yearning that our Tzaddikim had for Mashiach, can cause him to make mistakes just because, you know, it's hard to believe. But if someone has in his head the whole time a Tzipisili Yeshua, then maybe we can understand it a little better. There's a famous story with the Yismach Moshe. Very famous story that he had a son-in-law that lived a distance away, and he very rarely got to see him. He was very beloved by him and his whole family. And one time they got a letter that he's coming on Friday, 12 o'clock. So the family prepared the house, they made the house clean, they prepared a meal, they prepared his room, they made his bed, they did everything. 10 o'clock, they're all dressed in their finest, they want to greet this son-in-law. 11 o'clock comes, 12 o'clock comes, he still didn't come. 1 o'clock, everyone's ready, hanging out the door, looking out, going onto the sidewalk, looking down the street, see if he's coming. Finally, about 12:30, they see down the road his carriage coming. So one of the family members burst into the study, the Yismach Moshe was learning in his study, and he burst into the study and he said, Rabbi, he's coming. So Yismach Moshe jumped up and he ran to his room, he put on his Shabbos frack and his hat, and he ran out to the house. And he sees his son alone there, and everybody looks at his face, and it's crestfallen. So disappointed. He said, well, why are you so disappointed? Your son-in-law, your beloved son-in-law finally came. He said, when he came into my room, and he said, he's coming, I thought Mashiach was coming. I'm so disappointed, I thought Mashiach was coming. The Yismach Moshe was not naive. It was because Mashiach, the Tzipisa Yeshua, was constantly on his mind. The only thing that he was worried, he wanted so badly, that Mashiach should come. So when someone said he's coming, who else is coming? It must be Mashiach. It's a story with Moshe Feinstein that one year, about Rosh Chodesh Iyar, they heard him giving up a krechts. So someone asked him, Rebbe, what's the krechts about? He says, we know that Chazal tell us that in Nisan, a seed only go, Mashiach didn't come in Chodesh Nisan. Another Nisan passed and Mashiach didn't come. That's why I'm krechtsing. Who thinks about these things? And in truth, even though the Rambam says in the end of Hilchos Melachim, he says you shouldn't be Isaac in these things, trying to figure out when things are coming, when Mashiach is going to come, the Seva Kates. My hope with this year, hopefully, to create within us, myself and all of us, a tipisil Yeshua. And the truth is that tipisil Yeshua, it's actually one of the things that we're asked when we come up after 120. They ask you a few things, three things. One of them is tipisil Yeshua. Did you desire for Mashiach? Why? Why is this so important? So the truth is tipisil Yeshua is not just a maila. It's not just something you get a schar for. It actually hastens the Mashiach itself. So the first pasuk says yesh tikva l'achri secha. If there is hope and desire and pining and yearning for Mashiach, for l'achri secha, for the end of days, then the shavu vanim. Only then will Klai Yisrael be able to be redeemed. So hopefully today's year we'll be able to be mekar the geula with Arzi Pisa Yeshua. So why indeed do we want Mashiach? So I once went to a vad from Matasio, Mashkiach in Lakewood, about before Tisha B'Av. He was talking about the kinnos on Tisha B'Av, and he said, you know, if it was up to me, the kinnah that I would ordain for Tisha B'Av would be because of our sins, galinu me'artzenu, we were exiled from our country, and we've been distanced from our land, we can't do our obligations, that's the kinnah that we should be saying. Why we don't say it is not for now. But he asked a question, I think from Ibirucho, maybe from his Rebbe, Rebbe Yelkan. So what's pshat on this? Why do we want Mashiach? Because we can't do our obligations of the Beis HaMikdash. Said obligations we're missing. That's what we're lacking. Obligations, what we want, and the obligations that we have, we do fulfill. What kind of yearning for Mashiach is that we want more mitzvahs? Doesn't make any sense. We can barely keep the mitzvahs that we do have. So he said that you know why we don't want to keep the mitzvahs? It's because of galus. Galus is the goyim and the atmosphere and we're not on Eretz Yisrael. This is why we don't want Mashiach. This is why we don't want to keep our obligations. So we're saying in Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're distant from our land. We're in galus. That is why we can't keep our chayvus. So the tzaddikim that we've mentioned, their desire for Mashiach was in order to be able to fill these mitzvahs. But this leads us into our first topic for today. First question: will there indeed be kiyum mitzvahs l'asalavat? So it seems to be Mefarshe Gemara in Masechtas Midah. It's the back of the first page on your Tanur Abanan Beget Shavu Beklayim Reza Lei Makaren Levin Tzikavim. Someone who has a beget of shatnez. So he says, "Avol Eisim Imenu Tachrichen Lameis." You're allowed to create tachrichen for a dead person out of shatnez. Why? Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, "Zeis Imeres Mitzvays Betelis Lasid Lavin." The mitzvahs will be but the loss of love. There will be no obligations, there will be no chiyah mitzvahs, loss of love. And the Gemara brings out Rabbi Yechanan also. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, afilu kaybi, can't even bury this person in shan, is because Rabbi Yechanan, the Taimei, that he says, a pasuk, the mesim chafshi, that when people will die, they'll be free. Kivin shemes, when a person dies, so he is adam nasa chafshi in the mitzvahs. He becomes free from his obligations of keeping the mitzvahs. So this seems to be the first Gemara, that when Mashiach comes, there will not be any chiyah mitzvahs. So the Yaivetz, in I think Masechta Rosh Hashanah, he says not shver. Why? Because there's two parts to Mashiach. There's the part when Mashiach, the Melech HaMashiach, will come, and then that will last for a certain number of years, and then there will be Tchias HaMesim. Everybody's going to die first, they won't die first, but there'll be Tchias HaMesim. This that the Gemara says, that mitzvahs betelis lasa lave, that you're allowed to bury somebody in tachrichim because when he gets up, he'll be potter from, tachrichim of shanes, because when he gets up, he'll be potter from mitzvahs, that only means when he gets up, when there'll be tchias amesim, then the mitzvahs will be betelis, there'll be no obligations to keep the mitzvahs, but when Mashiach does come, there will be mitzvahs. The problem is, this is the first page of the Gemara in Sanhedrin.
It's referring to
now. What? Yeah, because when he gets up, no, when he's dead, for sure it's Pater Mitzvah. But when he gets up, he's going to be, what?
When he gets up, he doesn't need shroud anymore.
Yeah, but he's going to be wearing them. If he's wearing them, so it's a problem that'll be shatnez for that second that he gets up, so he takes them off, so it'll be shatnez. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin like this, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, the same Rabbi Yechanan, that we said in Nida, the same Rabbi Yechanan, it's in brackets, so here with some of the Rabbi Yechanan, according to the Gist of the Rabbi Yechanan, Minayin l'tchias ha-meisim min ha-tayra. How do we know that it's going to be tchias ha-meisim? Shenemar v'nasata mimenu es trumas Hashem la'aron ha-kayin. We're going to give our truma to Aaron HaKayin. You should always give your truma to Aaron HaKayin. So, v'chi Aaron lo'ilam kayin? Is Aaron always going to be around that we can always give him our truma? Zakti, why no? Malamich also liyas yisrael nesim le'truma v'kalas tchias ha-meisim min ha-tayra. Aaron HaKayin is going to get up by tchias ha-meisim, and we're going to give him the truma then. That's what the pasuk means, that we're always going to give Aaron HaKayin our truma. This seems to indicate that even after tchias ha-meisim, there will be mitzvahs. So, t'stiyun of Yechanan. Are there mitzvahs lasa lavi or not? So, the Yaivet says it's not shver either, because another very, very important yisai, that there's going to be two tchias ha-meisim. So there's going to be one general tchias ha-meisim for everybody. When everybody gets up after Mashiach, many years, however many years after Mashiach comes, there'll be tchias ha-meisim, all those that are zeich of the tchias ha-meisim will get up. But there's going to be another tchias ha-meisim when Mashiach comes. A lot of people know this, that those that were tzipisu Yeshua or a certain special tzaddikim, Moshe and Aaron, will get up when Mashiach comes, when actually Mashiach comes many years before Tchias HaMesim. So he says, this that the Pasuk says that you'll give to Aaron HaKayin, the Truma, that means when Aaron HaKayin gets up on the first Tchias HaMesim, that's when we're going to give him our Truma, because there's going to be an obligation on us to give Truma. That's only when Mashiach, there will be an obligation on us to give Truma, and we'll give it to Aaron HaKayin when he gets up on the first Tchias HaMesim. That's what the Yavid says. But there's still a bigger problem. Even if we assume that mitzvahs betelus lasalave will only be after tchias ha-mesim. What? Oh, so we'll get that in a second. We have one of the animamins is shazayis ha-tayra loy tehe mechlefes. The tayra will never be exchanged. The tayra will never change. So how could we say that even after tchias ha-mesim there will be no obligation to keep the mitzvahs? That means the Torah is going to change. The Torah says keep the mitzvah. Now you can tell us, no, don't keep the mitzvah. And the Torah is going to not keep the Torah. How can we possibly change the Torah? So Rabbi Chanan in Kavod Shiurim deals with this question. He says two possible answers, and he gives a nafkamina. One answer he says is that if the Torah says, that we say that the Torah will not be mechlefes, is only that we can't change the Torah. But if it's explicit in the Torah, if it's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, that after loss of lava, you won't have to keep the obligation, so then the Torah is not being changed. For example, if you have an Isser to marry your brother's wife. Torah says, now the brother's your wife. So all of a sudden, mitzvah Sibim comes, right? And there's a mitzvah to marry your brother's wife. Does that mean the Torah is being changed? No. Because the Torah said, don't marry your brother's wife. And the Torah said, marry your brother's wife in the matzah of Yibam. So the same thing, the Torah said keep the mitzvahs, and the Torah also said, la'asa lavai, you don't have to keep the mitzvahs. That's not a problem of zayis ha-Torah loy tehe mechlefes. That's one pshat. Second Torah, he says, is that this we know, this that we say that after tchias ha-mesim, mitzvahs will be betelos, is from the pasuk, la-mesim chafshi. He says this, that when dead people, when they get alive, will be free from the mitzvahs. He says this does not really mean only tchias ha-mesim. It means anybody who dies and gets resurrected is pater from the mitzvahs. So the Torah after tchias ha-mesim is going to stay the same. Which means if you'll find somebody after tchias ha-mesim that never died, which there is such a sheet in the Rishayim, it doesn't bring it down, but there is such a sheet in the Rishayim that those that are alive at the time of tchias ha-mesim will not die. Some say everybody will have to die and then they'll get resurrected, but some say no one won't die. If you'll find such a person, he will not be pater from the mitzvahs after tchias ha-mesim. Because this that we say, that when somebody, after tchias ha-mesim, there'll be no mitzvahs, that just means anybody who dies is pater from the mitzvah. It's not that the Torah changes, because the Torah is going to stay the same. And if you find somebody who never died, he'll be chayiv in the mitzvahs. So he says, what's a nafkamina? Besides this nafkamina, he doesn't say, but he says another nafkamina. Those that wake up, those that have a tchias ha-mesim, the first tchias ha-mesim. We said before that the great tzaddikim will have a tchias ha-mesim when Mashiach comes. So what's it then? Are they chayiv in mitzvahs or not? It says, according to the first pshat, that only la'achar tchias ha-mesim, there'll be no obligations. So then these people are going to be chayiv. Because this is not just tchias ha-mesim yet. The tchias ha-mesim didn't happen. The general tchias ha-mesim didn't happen yet. But according to the first pshat, that anyone who dies is pater from the mitzvahs when he has tchias ha-mesim, so in Aaron HaKayin, and Moshe Rabbeinu, all those great tzaddikim that will be reawakened at the time of Mashiach, so they're going to be pater from the mitzvahs.
So you're saying that the real tchias ha-mesim is the last one. What's the mark by Aaron HaKayin with this tchias ha-mesim in the
third? Oh, this is just a concept.
Yeah.
So he brings a raya from the Gemara Nida that we just learned. that Nehemiah preempted me, that the Gemara says you're allowed to bury somebody in tachrichim, in shrouds made out of shatnez. Why? Because when they get up, they're going to be patur min hamitzvos. If we say that it's only la'achar, the main tchias ha'mesa, when everybody gets up, that's when the mitzvos of v'teyos l'asa lavai. So how can we bury every single person with shrouds made out of shatnez? Maybe he's going to be one of those tzaddikim that will get up right away with Mashiach, and he's going to be wearing shatnez. Must be, says the Sefer Chachamim, that anybody who ever died and gets and has resurrected is patur min hamitzvos. He makes another right from Ritva, this famous Ritva, Gemara Sanhedrin, those winning that fame, you probably saw already, that somebody said that I am from the descendants of those that the Yecheskel ben Buzi woke up, and I have their tefillin, he says. And Ritva asks, what do you mean? I have mitzvah teyas l'asa lavei. So he says, you see right from this Ritva that anybody who wakes up, any tchias ha-mesim, because these Yecheskel people, Yecheskel ben Buzi, weren't from the general tchias ha-mesim, but you see from that anybody who has a resurrection is patur min hamitzvos. It's a little bit short because his answer doesn't seem like that, but it's not our discussion. Oh. Still one more problem. There's a Medrash Tanchuma, a rabbi Englander came over to me, and he said his mora told his kid in nursery that it's going to come a time when bacon and ham is going to be permissible.
Chazir.
How could there be such a thing? So his mora's right. It's a Medrash Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma says, why do we call a pig a chazir? So, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, she'osa the Kodesh Baruch Hu la'hachzir eleinu. Hashem will come at one time and return it to us. Now, there's a big machlokes rishayim, if Pesha's Tchias HaMesim, the general Tchias HaMesim, will there be any eating and drinking? It's a big discussion. There's going to be a Sudas of Yelsa, and there's going to be real food and not real food. That's not our discussion today, but it must be then that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu's saying that the chazir, the pig, is one day going to be mutter, it must be b'mayis Mashiach. Because according to some people, there's no eating after real tchias ha-mesim. And here the Medrash Tanchuma says mufarish that there's not going to be any isser in eating a chazir. So the Chassam Sefer, it's unbelievable, he says we know there's a rule that midrashim things are batel b'raya. For example, if you have a piece of pig and it falls into two pieces of kosher meat, so midrashim you can eat that mixture. Because it's bitul b'raya. But there's another rule that dvarim sheyesh lematirin are not batal, which means, for example, if you have chametz on Pesach that falls into two pieces of not chametz, so you can't eat that mixture, even though it's batal. Why not? Because since after Pesach, the chametz will be mutter. If chametz on Pesach is mutter, so then there's no bitul because it's a dvar sheyesh lematirin. How could we say that if a piece of pig falls into two pieces of kosher meat, it's mutter because it's batel b'raya? What do you mean? It's a davar sheyesh lematirin because l'asa lavai, pig is going to be mutter. Chaz is going to be mutter. It's going to be permissible. So it's davar sheyesh lematirin. So it's a big discussion. Yeah, if someone's going to be despoiled if you still say, but there's a sheet that's a rajma that says in such a case there will be it is called a davar sheyesh lematirin and it won't be batel. So how could the Shulchan Aruch say if a piece of pig falls into two pieces of kosher meat, it's batel b'raya, it's davar sheyesh lematirin. So Chassam Sefer said, and it's really an Aruch Hayim, in Parshas Vayikra, on the pasuk Hu geira lo yigar, that a pig who doesn't chew its cud, you're not allowed to eat it. So why does the Torah say Hu geira lo yigar, it does not chew its cud? Say, because it doesn't chew its cud, why it does not chew its cud? So it says Aruch Hayim, Pirish Tanaihu Hadavar. It's contingent. Kos man chehu lo yigar, any as long as it does not chew its cud, and it's awesome. Aval asa lavai, b'mishmashiach comes yale geira v'yachshel liyis mutter. A pig will start chewing its cud. The pigs that will be born after Mashiach comes will their teva will change and they'll start chewing their cud. What? The actual animal will change. B'lo yishya b'lo geira. And he says, you know what? How I know this? Because the Torah can't change. That's interesting, but that's what he says. So says the Chassam Sefer, Meirdik. This that we say it's a davar sheyesh lematirin is not batal. This pig, if we have a piece of pig today that fell into two pieces of kosher meat, is this piece of pig ever going to become mutter? No, because this pig came from this piece of bacon came from a pig that does not chew its cud. A pig that does not chew its cud is never going to be mutter. This that we say that bacon and ham is going to be mutter is only going to be lost and lovely when the pigs will change and they will start chewing their cud.
What about a pig that
nourished by? Yeah, so Harbi also. That'll be nafkamina. Yeah. Okay, so that's all pretty much on halacha. What's interesting is, with this topic of mitzvahs, potatoes, lots of lava, it seems a lot of the mafarshim say that this that we know that the Yetzer Hara will be destroyed when Mashiach comes, it seems like it's telling in this discussion of mitzvahs, potatoes, lots of lava or not, that those that say that there still will be an obligation of mitzvahs when Mashiach comes, so they hold that the Yetzer Hara will not be batal until after Tchias HaMesim also. But when Mashiach comes, there still will be a Yetzer Hara. And even though I must say the Ramban in Devarim on the Pasuk of Mola Semesh Levavecha says that it sounds like he's saying clearly that even when Mashiach comes, there will be no Yetzer Hara, there will be no Schos, there will be no Chayva, you can't get any Schar and Einish, there will be no Schar and Einish for anything that you do. But the opinion of many of the other Rishonim, according to this, is that even though mitzvahs, potatoes, also lavai, since there's still going to be an obligation to keep the mitzvahs when Mashiach comes, so the Yetzer Hara will not be destroyed until after Tchias HaMesim. And the Rambam seems to bear this out. The Rambam says in Perek Shnei Masar Halacha Dalet, famous Rambam, Loi nisabu anaviyim ha-chachamim yimaisa Mashiach. Why did the chachamim want Mashiach? Like a day should yishaltu al kolayim, not that we should rule the world, and not that we should be on top of all the goyim, and not that we should eat and drink and be happy. And like a day should yipnuyim batoyev chachmasa, we should be free from our obligation, from things that bother us. Chulu mevatel kedei, why kedei she yisku lechayei oilam haba? In order the tzaddikim want to be able to fulfill their obligations and do mitzvahs and learn Torah, in order that they should be zayche to chayei oilam haba. So it seems from this Rambam, it's a mefurish that La'asalavi, there still will be one more chance for us to earn reward for Olam Haba. And Ramat Tisyahu, on a sefer on Chinuch, he says, you know, he's trying to teach us how could we fulfill it, getting back to Tzipis of Yeshua for a moment. He says, how could we instill in our children Tzipis of Yeshua? They have everything today, everything they want. Why would they want Mashiach for? See, a lot of children can understand Schar Olam Haba. Kids can understand it. We have trouble with it, but kids appreciate and understand that when you do mitzvahs, we'll get reward in Olam Haba. And you can tell them, you know why you want Mashiach? Because that will be the last chance that we won't have any really Yetzer Hara. We won't have any, we'll have a Yetzer Hara, but things will be so clear, there'll be a final chance for us to try and earn reward. All the things that usually bother us, all the kids that fight with us in school, all the problems we have, those things will be batal, and we'll be able to dedicate ourselves to one last chance to get Olam Haba. And it's for us also, that's the peace of the Yeshua. A lot of people are troubled, why do we want Mashiach to come? But it's a very, very, very important point that we should want Mashiach to come because everybody has their issues. Everybody wants to learn. Everybody had their moment that they had a geschmack in davening and learning, doing mitzvahs. And when Mashiach comes, that geschmack will always be there and we'll have one last chance to be zaychet ha'ilam haba. And that's why we should all want Mashiach to come in our days. Because if it doesn't come in our days, then... It's a bit of a question, but if it doesn't come in our days, so then we're not going to be zeicha to this reward, this opportunity. Okay, let's discuss a little bit about Mashiach ben Yosef. Now again, we don't want to get too much into details about things, because a lot of mystery, a lot of vagueness, but basically, Mashiach ben Yosef goes like this. Mashiach ben Yosef is meant to be a precursor for Mashiach, he's meant to prepare us for Mashiach. And in fact, many of the Mefarshim seem to say that Mashiach ben Yosef will do almost all the groundwork. He's going to come. He's going to fight the wars, and he's going to abolish Edom, because the pasuk says Beis Yosef Lahava, the children, descendants of Yosef, will provide the flame that will consume Edom, will consume Esav. So he's going to go and fight Edom, he's going to wage those wars, he's going to get rid of Yishmael, he's going to conquer Yerushalayim, and if you think Yerushalayim is ready in our hands, think again, and he's going to take Eretz Yisrael, some say he might even build a Beis HaMikdash, but that's basically Mashiach ben Yosef, and then he's going to lay all this groundwork. What's going to be with Mashiach ben Yosef? So there we already have a Gemara in Sukkah. I don't know what page number it is, but it starts with the word Yisafta. Brings a pasuk v'safta aris mishpachas levad. Pasuk says that there will be a time that we're going to mourn when Mashiach comes. It's a nevuah, and we're going to mourn something. What are we going to mourn? So Gemara brings that on machlekes, but Rabbanan say one say on the Yitzhara v'chad omer al Mashiach ben Yosef shenera. Mashiach ben Yosef is going to end up getting killed in first I'm explaining in some sort of battle, either in Mechemes Gog u'Magog or another war. He's going to get killed. And then there's going to be some sort of delay, 40 days, 40 years, 3 days, big discussion. But then Mashiach ben David is going to come, and he's going to bring Mashiach. That seems to be Mashiach ben Yosef. That's basically what Mashiach ben Yosef is. In fact, many explain that we have two brachas in Shemoneh Esrei regarding Mashiach. We have the bracha of Yerushalayim, Ircha, Barachim, and Tashav. And there's another bracha, Semach David, Avdecha, Meir, Satzmiach. So they explain that Yerushalayim, Ircha, Barachim, and Tashav is referring to Mashiach ben Yosef, because we said that he's going to conquer Yerushalayim, he's going to take over Eretz Yisrael, maybe he'll even build the Beis HaMikdash. So we're being mispiled to Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring us Mashiach ben Yosef. And the next bracha is, Semach David, Avdecha, that Mashiach ben David should come. And in fact, in Siddur Eitz Chaim, he says, in Yerushalayim Ircha, at the end we say, what do we say? Chisei David, Meheira L'Seicha Tachin, depending on your Nusach. He says, at that moment, you should have Kavana to be mispal on Mashiach ben Yosef, that he should not die in battle. So in Yerushalayim Ircha, which is Baruch HaMashiach ben Yosef, you should have in mind to daven that Mashiach ben Yosef should not die in battle. So this is the Brisker Rav will explain.
So then we have, I think, the Vajra, right? It says that Mashiachim will go up to the Harz Esa. How do you think that? Sounds like they're together now.
Where does it say they'll both go?
It's a Mashiachim.
Mashiachim means the people are with him. Is that the Raj?
I don't see Mashiachim and Esa. Okay, these questions we were going to try not to deal with today. So the problem is, if you look at the Rambam, I mean, there's nowhere to look, but he does not mention one thing about Mashiach ben Yosef. This seems to be very, very sure. It's from a first of Gemara that Mashiach ben Yosef is going to come. We just read it. So how come the Rambam totally ignores Mashiach ben Yosef? So in the back of the Franco Rambam, there's a sefer called Avodat Tamo, and he has a huge arichas, but he wants to say that that we've known, that there's such a thing called Mashiach ben Yosef, is not really muskim lakal. It's only a das of few of the Tanayim in the Gemara, not my realm in the Gemara. But he says, Roiv of the Tanayim, hold that there never will be such a thing called Mashiach ben Yosef. And he brings a right from the Radak says on that pasuk of a Safta that we will be more Mashiach ben Yosef, that it's not true, it means Mashiach ben Dov. He says, how could it be there be such a thing of Mashiach ben Yosef, and nowhere in the whole Navi is it mentioned? And he brings basically three rayas that there will not be such a thing called Mashiach ben Yosef. One, we know that there's a story of Bekiva that he thought that Bar Kochba was going to be Mashiach. Mashiach ben David. Bar Kochba was from the Shevet David. So how could Rabbi Akiva think that Bar Kochba was going to be Mashiach ben David if Mashiach ben Yosef is supposed to come before Mashiach ben David? Mashiach ben Yosef didn't come yet. How could Bar Kochba be Mashiach ben David? One right.
Because of the
Gain. Okay. The Gain doesn't work. Okay. Another raya is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he wanted to make Chizkiyahu HaMelech Mashiach. Same problem. Chizkiyahu is from Shevet David. How can Chizkiyahu HaMelech be Mashiach ben David if Mashiach ben Yosef did not yet come yet? The third raya he brings is that there are a lot of premonitions in Shas depicting the lowly status that Klai Yisrael is going to be in before Mashiach ben David comes. Ein Mashiach ben David ba'at shetichla pruta min hashok. There's not going to be one dime left in anybody's pocket. Or shenisiyahu shemin ha'geula, we're going to be so, it's going to be so bad for us, we're going to completely give up for Mashiach ever coming. If Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be coming before Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be a melech. He's going to conquer Yerushalayim, he's going to conquer Yisrael, it'll be peace and harmony and richness, and everything's going to be beautiful when Mashiach ben Yosef comes. Chemes Gagamag is going to come, but during the time of Mashiach ben Yosef, prosperity for Klal Yisrael. So how could all these Gemara say that before Mashiach ben David comes, it's going to be problems? It's a must be, there's no such thing as Mashiach ben Yosef. These are his three rites. Yeah, there's a machlekes. But he says, Rabbi Kiva, who held the Bar Kochba, obviously didn't hold to this.
So you explain why it's not going to happen. How did it come about in the first place? Where did the concept come from in the first place?
Right, that's really what he was asking. That's the Radak's question. There's no mention of it in anywhere besides at least Tanayim. It could be comes from this pasuk, it could be Seyesef Lohava. What? Yeah, but you can explain that to Mashiach Lohava.
The Marsha
brings the pasuk, it could be Seyesef Lohava, right?
Yeah, so Shalesev is killed by
right. Yosef. Right. So that could be the Makar, but it's a Jewish, so it's not worth it.
Who's Yosef? From Shevet Yosef?
Yeah. So to answer these questions, the Chayra lies in a piece at the end of the Crazy Uplacy. It's a bit of an unlikely source. But he says, I'll end off my sefer, I'll end off on a good note, and he goes into the discussion of about Mashiach ben Yosef. Not really Mashiach ben Yosef, but he's discussing really another topic, which is a topic in the Gemara in Erevin. It's the one with the big black line in the middle. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Reini Nazir b'yom shem davar. If someone makes a ned, makes himself, he says, I'm going to become a Nazir the day that Mashiach comes. So the Gemara says he's not allowed to drink wine starting today. Why? Because maybe Mashiach is going to come today, and he will be over on drinking wine. So Taisus, you can see the whole Gemara there, but Taisus asks Akasha, let's aser any kain from drinking wine, because we know that a kain who drinks wine cannot do the avodah beis hamikdash. Meheri yibun beis hamikdash, beis hamikdash is going to be rebuilt, and he's not going to be able to perform the avodah. We should say no kain is ever allowed to drink wine. So Taisus has two terutz. One terutz he says is it's not a problem because we'll find another kain. That's a big deal. So one kain will be drunk. I'm sure there'll be one kain out there that's not drunk. Second teretz is Yibinsur Rabbeinu Tam. That when the Gemara says, I'm going to become a Nazir on the day that Mashiach comes, it doesn't mean when Mashiach actually comes. He's saying, I'm going to become a Nazir on the day that it's possible for Mashiach ben David to come. So, what was our question? Therefore, that's why it's also for him to drink wine, because he can come, it's possible for him to come today, but to tell a kain that he's not allowed to drink wine, so long he didn't come, we don't tell him he can't drink wine. But says Taisus, a nafkamin between these two terutzim. There's a question. Why do we say that someone who says that I'm going to become a Nazir when Mashiach comes, he's not allowed to drink wine? What do you mean Mashiach ben Yosef didn't come yet? So since Mashiach ben Yosef didn't come yet, he's obviously not going to come today. So let him drink wine. Mashiach ben David is definitely not coming yet. Again, his nazirus was that I'll become a nazir when Mashiach ben David comes. Is it possible for Mashiach ben David to come today? No, because Mashiach ben Yosef didn't come yet. So he says, the fear of Beinu Tam that says that he means on the day that it's possible for Mashiach ben David to come, then it's answered. Right, the crazy place, what's the difference? Is it possible for Mashiach to come today? No, because Mashiach ben Yosef didn't come yet. So why is Taisus saying that according to Beinu Tam that says that on a day that it's possible for Mashiach ben David to come, then it's understandable? What do you mean? It's not possible for Mashiach ben David to come because Mashiach ben Yosef didn't come yet. So the crazy place he goes on a whole long arichas he's discussing something else, but he says that there's we know there's two possible times when Mashiach could come. There's Be'itai and Be'achishana. He could come on time. He can come on time. Or you could come, if we're Zeicha and we do tshuva, then we'll be Zeicha and we'll come earlier. He says, this is not so Shkiach. That's the words he says. It's not Shkiach. That we're going to be able to do such tshuva that Mashiach, that we'll be able to bring Mashiach before it's time. But it's possible. And he says, if Mashiach will come earlier, then we could actually get rid of Mashiach ben Yosef. We have the option of not having Mashiach ben Yosef by doing tshuva, and we'll go straight to Mashiach ben David. So he says, Mayerdik. If you hold like the first teretz of Taisus, that the Gemara is saying, Irene knows when Mashiach is actually going to come, you're not allowed to drink wine, we have a question. What do you mean? Why can't he drink wine? Mashiach ben Yosef didn't come yet. Maybe Mashiach ben Yosef won't come. Will be Zeich and Mashiach ben Yosef won't come. It's not Shriach. We don't have to tell him that it's also to drink wine because maybe Mashiach ben David will come without Mashiach ben Yosef. That's not something we have to worry about. Since Mashiach ben Yosef is probably going to come, and he didn't come yet, let him drink wine. That's a question. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, that he's saying that it's a day that it's possible for Mashiach ben David to come. Is it possible for Mashiach ben David to come yet today? Sure. Mashiach ben Yosef didn't come yet. It's possible, not likely, but it's possible that Mashiach ben David will come today without Mashiach ben Yosef when we do teshuva.
What's the Shema difference between
the Machlokes?
Is it Shai the same day?
No, it's either 3 days, 40 days, 40 years. It's not the same thing. Good question. So, if this crazy place, you can answer all the questions of the Avodah Tam. Bar Kochba, Chizkiya, these Rabbi Kiva thought, and Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "May Chizkiya Melech Mashiach Ben David, Mashiach Ben Yosef didn't come yet. It wasn't the time. It wasn't Be'itai. This would have been Achishena. Chizkiya Melech was Bar Kochba. We thought the Klaus was on such a high level that Mashiach Ben David can come before Mashiach Ben Yosef." that's not Shver, the Avodah Tamah's question. How could there be such a thing as Mashiach ben Yosef? How could there be such a thing as Mashiach ben Yosef? And it can't be because we thought Chizkiyahu could be Mashiach. And Mashiach ben Yosef didn't come yet. Not Shver. It's possible for Mashiach ben David to come without Mashiach ben Yosef. And the same thing, we could say that all those nevuas, or whatever you want to call them, premonitions in Shas, that Klai Yisrael will be in a lowly status before Mashiach ben David comes, that could be, if it will be Bachishena, then it will be so bad for us, and we'll do Teshuvah, and then Mashiach ben David will come without Mashiach ben Yosef. Now, someone mentioned the Gaon. I must inform you that the Gaon says just the opposite of this crazy placey. He says that if Mashiach will come earlier, then there will be Mashiach ben Yosef. It's a whole shtickle telling Evan Shleimer to answer differently, but according to the crazy placey, we have an answer. So the three of them says, like, oh, there's quite a lot, a whole share on this. I think it's available on our website. On Be'itei Nachi Shana, there's Kyle gave a share once in Miami Beach, and I think it's available. Oh, okay, let's discuss some interesting things. There's a concept called Chamor Shal Mashiach. Mashiach's donkey. It sounds like that's the beef. I'm not sure it is. Fine, so there's a concept called the donkey. I mean, we all know the Mashiach when Dove is going to come riding in on a white donkey. So the Rambam says that the Baal Bat is a question, but the Rambam says that when Mashiach when Dove comes, everything's going to be the same. Why would he ride a white donkey if he could ride a white Cadillac? Why a white donkey? So what's this issue with the white donkey? And also, when exactly would he come in? I mean, it's a machlekes, but there's a whole Mashiach ben David is going to come and wage the wars, and he's gonna lay the groundwork, and he's gonna be around. He's gonna come to the city. He's gonna go around. When will this be this grand revelation of Mashiach ben David riding in on his white donkey? That seems to be that's the, you know, the final thing that he's gonna do is, and everyone's gonna come and greet him on his white donkey. What, the whole time he's gonna be walking around, and then when he finally comes, he's gonna be riding in his white donkey. What does it mean of this white donkey? So I first heard this chat from. I heard it on we're talking about Mashiach, but I heard it on the radio on Kol Barama in Lakewood from Rabbi Akiva Tatz. He doesn't always say his sources, he's talking to not yet from people. They don't know the difference between anything. But he said a Mamash Amari to Kipshah. And I was doing research, I saw that it's actually Mefurish Maral. Maral says like this, that the Medrash says there are three people that did ride this donkey, and then one will. Not Bill. Close, yeah. Avram Avinu. Vayashkim Avram is Chamayre. Avram Avinu rode this donkey. And Moshe Rabbeinu rode this donkey. And Mashiach ben David is going to ride this donkey. What's the common denominator between Avram Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, and Mashiach? So he says that the Chamar, what does Chamar mean? Chamar is Chamrius. Chamrius is Gashmius. A Chamar, it's also very funny. Why would he ride a Chamar? It's a treif animal. But Chamar refers to Chamrius, refers to Gashmius. Avram Avinu was the first person that totally conquered all of his Gashmius. Everything. You say he was Meishel even on his Makamila. His neshama completely dominated his guf. Meishel Rabbeinu, definitely the same way. He was almost like a Malach Alikim. And his guf was completely bottled neshama. And Mashiach ben David is going to be the final one. Some say he'll be even greater than Moshe Rabbeinu and Avraham Avinu. Mashiach ben David will be the final one who will completely, and really this is the whole essence of Mashiach, and for sure, Lassan Lavi, after Tchiyas HaMesim, that the Yetzirah will be batal, and we'll all, our neshamas will completely overpower our guf. So this is the meaning of a white donkey. A white donkey means completely pure. His chamrius will be completely cleansed, and the only thing that he'll be completely Moshe, he'll rule completely over his body. So that's what he means. He says it won't be a real donkey. Maral says clearly, it will not be a real donkey. There will be no donkey. You heard it here first.
Cadillac.
Okay, there's another question I want to just... Interesting thing. Where exactly is Mashiach now? Does anybody know where Mashiach is now? So there seems to be a stira. In the Sifrei Kabbalah and the Midrashim, they mention something about a Heichel Kantzipa or a Heichel Mashiach, which is a room in Shemayim that Mashiach is going to reside, or is residing right now.
It goes up and down every time someone goes in.
He was sitting with
them, and then it's other place that says he was sitting around, and it's first that b'chol dar v'dar, there's going to be a person that can be Mashiach. So what's going on over here? Is he on this world? Is he up there? So it seems that from the Svarim they say, bring down like this, that technically there's a Mashiach over here every single day. There's a person that can't be Mashiach. He has no clue that he's Mashiach. If anybody tells you he's Mashiach, he has no idea what he's talking about, because the person will not know he's Mashiach. There will come a time, though, that from this Heichal Kantzipar in Shemayim, there's a neshama Yisera, so to speak, that Hashem, when Hashem finds the right person who can be Mashiach and who's doing the mitzvahs and he's leading the generation and he's urging the Klal Yisrael to do teshuvah and he's doing all the preparations that a person of Mashiach can do, like the Rambam says, b'cheskas Mashiach, that person, Hashem will infuse him with this neshama of Mashiach, and only then will he be able to come. Interesting. Oh, let's discuss a little about Tchias HaMeisim. Everybody knows there's something called the Luz bone. The Luz bone, it's machlekes where exactly it is on the body, but the Luz bone is going to be that bone does not decompose when the rest of the bones do decompose, and from this Luz bone we are going to be resurrected b'shas Tchias HaMeisim. So Chazal tell us that the Luz bone gets its nourishment from Malava Malka. A person who eats Sudas Malava Malka, it's very, very important to eat Sudas Malava Malka, because the Brisker Rav used to say, or Chaim Kanievsky, I think, so, says that you can do all the Torah and all the mitzvahs you want. If you don't have the Luz bone, you can't get up. And the only way that your Luz bone gets nourishment is from Sudas Malava Malka. But why the Luz bone? Why is the Luz bone what that's going to be resurrect us? So there's a Shartin, I think. But the Rebbe of Herschel says... Amar de Gamar. He says, we know that the Luz bone only gets nourishment from Sudas Ma'ava Malka. And what was Gairim, the Misa of the Guf? When Adam Rishon was created, he was supposed to live forever. What was the cause of his death? It was Eitz Hadas. When was Eitz Hadas?
Erev Shabbos.
Erev Shabbos, Friday. It comes out that the Luz bone, which only can receive nourishment from Ma'ava Malka, never got nourishment from the Eitz Hadas, because it can't receive nourishment from the Eitz Hadas. And the Eitz Hadas was not eaten by Malava Malka. It was eaten on Friday. It was eaten on Friday. So the Luz bone never was Niknas Misa. The Luz bone never received the decree that it can't get, that it's going to die. The main Luz bone is going to be alive forever, and that's the reason why the Luz bone is going to be the source for Tchias HaMeisim. That's Mari Tikapsha. Now, why Sudas Malava Malka? Why is it getting designed from Sudas Malava Malka? Why is that going to bring us to Tchias HaMeisim? So I asked our resident expert, Baron David, about Malava Malka. And he told me because Malava Malka means we're trying to expand the Kedusha of Shabbos into the Meis HaChol. That's what Malava Malka does. It brings the Kedusha of Shabbos, which is Kedusha, to Chol, which is more of a Gashmistic existence. So Tchias HaMeisim is the same thing. It's bringing the body, which is Chol, which is Guf, and it's bringing it to a level of Kedusha and infusing the whole body that's going to live forever, which is something that Messias can't be. But the body will live forever through this Kedusha, so the Malava Malka, which is infusing Chol with Kedusha, corresponds to Tchias HaMeisim, which is infusing the body with Kedusha. Now, who will be Zeichet to Tchias HaMeisim? So, it's a Gemara in Ksuvah, Staf Kufid Alfa Mebeiv. How do we Zeichet to Tchias HaMeisim? Where it says, bring the pasuk, and it says, "Kol mishtamish b'ar tayra, ar tayra mechayev." Anybody who learns tayra, the only way to be zeichet to Tchias HaMeisim is by learning tayra. And it's a very scary thing. V'chol she'ein mishtamish b'ar tayra, ein ar tayra mechayev. Just in Lashon, but anybody who does not learn tayra cannot have Tchias HaMeisim. So the Gemara says, "Kivin the Chazir to come and star." He saw that he was being mitzvah. What do you mean? All those people don't retire. All Amaratzim will not have Tchias HaMeisim. Amalei Rebbe Matzasi Lohem Takana. I found them in Eitzah. I'm not tired from the pasuk. It says, "Va'atem Advekim Hashem Alikechem Chaim Kochem Ayoy." How could he be davak in the Shechina? Ella means the pasuk and the Gemara. So El Kala Macy beat to the Tamachacha. The Aiser Pragmatic the Tamid Chachamim. The Amahana Tamid Chachamim. Anybody who supports Torah learning, anybody who marries off his daughter to a Tamachacha and supports that son-in-law, it's Keilu Medavik B'Shechina, and such a person will be Zayche to Tchias HaMeisim. So there's still sponsorships available for today's year. There's one other cat that Zeichet Tchias HaMeisim, even if they never learned the Jewish word, and that is those that are Meiser Nafsham Al Kedushas Hashem. Someone's Meiser Nafsham Al Kedushas Hashem is Zeichet Tchias HaMeisim. Why is this so? So there's a piece on the Path of Yitzchak on Shavuos, and he says, I think what he says, that every mitzvah, the etzem, the schar for, we know, schar by one, there's no schar for a mitzvah in this world. Because the mitzvah primarily is done by the neshama, and the guf helps out. The guf gets an eloi from doing a mitzvah, but it's the neshama doing the mitzvah, and the guf kind of helps out to the neshama to do the mitzvah. So that schar is possible to get in Shemayim, after Gan Eden, because the Gan Eden is a place for the neshama. So the neshama gets the schar for the things, the mitzvahs that it did. Mesiras nefesh, someone who's meiser nefesh, and he gives his life al kiddush Hashem. So there, it's not the neshama that's doing it. The neshama might have told him, but what he's really doing is being mevatel his guf l'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we know the reward has to be midah keneged midah. There's no way to give the reward to the neshama for something that the guf did. The only way to give reward to someone who is meiser nafshi al kiddush Hashem is only to give him tchias hameisim and then to give him reward to his guf. So meila, someone who's meiser nefesh will be zeicher to tchias hameisim. We'll end off with one thing. Can Mashiach come any day? Can he come today? So there's a story from Reb Chaim Volozhiner. It's said over by Moshe Soloveitchik. The whole Nusach there is unbelievable. But it seemed that in Volozhin there was a man who came in with a shining countenance and a long flowing white beard, and he dressed the part, and everybody says, for sure, he's Mashiach. So they came to Reb Chaim Volozhiner, and they said, is it true? Is this man Mashiach? He said, no. I never even met him. I know he's not Mashiach. So I'll tell you what Mashiach. I'll tell you what the day that Mashiach is going to come is going to look like. I'm going to come home from davening, and I'm going to sit down at the table, and my wife's going to say, "Nu, Chaim, do you want something to eat for breakfast?" He say, "No, you know, I didn't get a chance to prepare the shiur that I'm supposed to give today. First, let me prepare the shiur, and then we'll eat breakfast." She says, "Okay, you know what? I'm putting a pot of porridge on the oatmeal, something on the oven, and I'm going to go out to the shuk to buy something to eat. Chaim, take heed. The make sure it doesn't burn. I know as soon as you start learning, the Reb Chaim Volozhiner is telling the story. I know that when as soon as you start getting involved in Torah, you're going to totally forget about my porridge. Please take heed and don't let the porridge burn." Okay, so I start learning. I look in the sefer. All of a sudden, I notice that my room is filled with a bright light. Unbelievable light. And I open my windows, and I hear the birds are chirping a brand new song, and everything's just unbelievable. And I stick my head out the window, and I see the tailor running by. I say, "Yanko, what's going on? What's this bright light? Why are these birds singing brand new songs?" He said, "Rabbi, you didn't hear the Mashiach came. Mashiach's coming. Mashiach's here." When Mashiach comes, there's not going to be any suffix. Mashiach comes, the whole world is going to look completely different. It can happen any moment. But when Mashiach comes, you know without a doubt, Mashiach is here. This old man might be a very big tamachach and a big tzaddik, but he's not Mashiach.
His mimers brought that in Ha'a Chuba, by the way. Brings that
whole story. Okay. So I want to end off with one R on the story. Why do you have to say this whole thing with the porridge, and his wife told him that don't let the porridge burn, and Chaim, I know you're going to learn Torah, and but that part really doesn't seem to be, maybe it was just things that happen every day, but it doesn't seem to be negated for the whole story. So how I wanted to say maybe that the Vard is that he's saying that my wife told me that I have to look after the porridge. But Melo, when I was learning Torah, I was only 97% involved in the sugya. 3% I was looking after the porridge. If I was 100% completely involved in learning Torah, I would not even have noticed that Mashiach came. I would not even have noticed that the light was brand new. It was a brand new light than the birds singing. So, you should be zeicha to learn Torah, and this, the ending of the shir is a no-brainer. Mashiach zeicha, Mashiach zekeinu, Meir v'yameinu, Amen.